So back in another life, many, many, many moons ago, I worked in the front office of the Chateau Victoria Hotel, downtown Victoria. Those were the days. Life in my mid-20s, surrounded by fascinating co-workers and friends, most of them overeducated and underemployed Gen Xers who never went to church, or at least if they did, they didn't advertise it. That job really taught me about hospitality, about anticipating and inquiring about the needs of others, about how important it was to learn people's names, about how people from around the globe would pilgrimage to Victoria to see the beauty of our home here on the tip of Vancouver Island, up close and in person. It was a great job. Now, I'd been working in the hospitality industry for some years, and I enjoyed it, but there was something missing for me, something I couldn't quite put my finger on. I also enjoyed being a mother to young children. We had a good life that was filled with friends and family, but again, something was missing. Now, from the concierge desk of the hotel during the long, slow days of the off-season, the front desk, I could see the top of St. Anne's Academy. Do you know where that is? St. Anne's? Yeah. And in that special Fairfield winter light, it was mesmerizing. At the very top of the red-roofed rotunda, at the very center, there is this large brass cross on the peak of the roof. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Yeah? I could see this cross quite clearly from my often uneventful off-season post during my shift. I'd look at it and I'd think, what's the big deal about the cross anyways? You see, at that time, I wasn't affiliated with a church. I wasn't even affiliated with Jesus, for that matter. I would count myself easily as one of those spiritually but not religious people from the West Coast that would declare as much on a Canadian census form if it were there as such a box to tick off. So when a good friend and coworker from the hotel invited me to her church, I considered that big shiny cross that stared me in the face from the top of St. Anne's, and I figured I'd accept her invitation and go see what this Jesus person was all about. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Those are the words of the Greek outsiders that have found their way into Jerusalem during the occasion of the Passover, where the city has become alive with religious festivities that attracted not only Jews, but Gentiles as well. Today's text from John's Gospel is preceded by events such as Jesus' raising of Lazarus, Mary's anointing of Jesus' feet with her hair, and the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. It's like our lectionary has flashed forward a little bit to give us a snippet of John's story where we see things starting to escalate. There is much hype around this Jesus of Nazareth. There is much hype around the stories that they're hearing about Lazarus and how he was raised from the dead. People are curious. People are furious. The Pharisees are disturbed. Jesus is generating buzz, creating a following of Jews and Gentiles. There doesn't seem to be too much discrimination in terms of who has come to see Jesus. Now, the gospel doesn't tell us how many Gentiles came asking or why they're interested in Jesus in the first place. Are they curious about his message and his parables? Are they chasing spectacle, hoping to see Jesus walk on water or heal a blind man? Maybe they're skeptics, looking for a place to pick a fight with the controversial Nazarene. Or maybe they're just bored and seeking some sort of distraction. There's no way for us to know, really. All we can do is guess. But we do know that they have come. And even though they have no idea who this Jesus is, it is Jesus that they seek. Now, I met my friend at her church. It was Grace Lutheran, the one on Fort Street where I had my ordination. I came with Eric and Maya, who were very little at the time. Back in the late 90s, that church was like every other church of its time. Two regular services, one evening seeker service, a praise band at the Happy Clappy service, and a pipe organ at the 11 a.m. service, the liturgical service. I heard a yes over there. Both services had a Sunday school and a nursery. And my son Eric and my daughter Maya didn't want anything to do with either the Sunday school or the nursery. They clung to me, unwilling to join the other kids as much as I tried. I was simultaneously embarrassed that my kids were completely unaware that we didn't belong here anyways, and that we somehow needed to at least comply with their rules about kids going to Sunday school. Well, they didn't go. So Eric was handed a kids' activity bag by a helpful usher, and he sat in the pews. And Maya, who was a toddler, I know I'm preaching about Maya. You can tell her. Are you texting her already? She was just a toddler, and she sat on my lap and enjoyed the attention from all the church ladies who oohed and aahed over her perfect ringlet dark curls. But Maya could only sit for so long, and she began to make noises. You know the kind of noises that I mean. Baby noises. Noises that said, "I'm dissatisfied, so pay attention to me now." Those of you familiar with toddlers know what I mean. But I was embarrassed. I was just about to pick her up and take her out when I saw a very nice church lady looking at me with a big smile. And she walked towards me and sat right down beside us on the pew. "You know," she said, with a smile as warm as sunshine and a beautiful French-Canadian accent, "you know, we have a nursery." I felt deflated. I took Maya out into the foyer and tried to leave her in the nursery, but she would have nothing to do with that. We went home, and I thought, well, this is nuts. But when my friend called and asked if she could pick us up to go the following week, I said yes. I wanted to find out more about this Jesus person, and I certainly didn't learn anything about him from that one visit. I resolved to give it a good chance. Well, Sunday came, and we arrived at Grace, and of course, Maya didn't want to go to the nursery, but this time I had a bag of tricks with me. Soft toys and soft books to keep her occupied. I was one quick-thinking and resourceful parent. But again, during the sermon, she started to act up again. She didn't want to go with my friend who had offered to take her. She didn't seem satisfied with her bag of soft toys. Just then, I saw the nice woman with the nice smile coming towards me again, smiling as sweetly as ever. She sat down beside me, and she said, "You know, we have a nursery." And in that moment, I looked at her, and I snapped, and I said, "I know, you told me that last week." And she got up, and she floated away on a sunbeam like you would imagine the way she traveled. And my friend looked at me and said, "Wow, I can't take you anywhere, can I?" I felt so bad that whole week. I don't know what I was expecting to find at this church, but I was convinced that I was an outsider, and I didn't belong there. Whoever this Jesus person was, he certainly would understand that I didn't fit in with his crowd. I decided that I'd go one more time to apologize for snapping at that church lady, and then I'd never go back there again. Well, the days came and went, and Sunday morning had come around again. I had the kids dressed and ready. I had the bag of toddler tricks. I had the support of my good friend, and off we went to church. When I got there, I looked around the foyer trying to see if the lady was there, and I saw her right away, and she looked at me, and she smiled that great, big, beautiful smile of hers, and she started walking towards me, and I thought, oh, no, this is happening right now. She came right up to me and she said, "I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself to you the past 2 weeks. My name is Rose." I said, "I'm Anita, and this is Eric, and this is Maya." She oohed and aahed over both children, and of course, Eric clung tight to my legs, and Maya buried her face in my shoulder as I carried her. I took a deep breath, ready to speak. I wanted to tell her what I was thinking, that I only came to find out what Christianity was all about, but maybe it was a little too early because my kids were too young, that they didn't know anyone because we were virtually strangers in the midst of a bunch of people that seemed to already know each other and obviously love each other. I wanted to tell her that I was frustrated the other day, and I snapped at her because I felt so out of place and stupid, like I was trying to belong someplace that I shouldn't. But before I could say a single word, she began to talk. She said, "You know," and smiled that sweet rose smile of hers. "You know, I have a daughter. Her name is Monica. She's all grown up now. In fact, she just got married 2 weeks ago. You know, when she was a little girl, and when I used to bring her to church, if someone said to me what I said to you the past weeks, if someone said that to me, I would have punched them right in the nose." I burst out laughing. I did not expect her to say that. I looked at her, and she was dead serious. And she was laughing, too. And she said, "I'm sorry." And my eyes got teary, and I said, "I felt so bad this whole week. I only came back here to apologize to you for snapping. And here you are apologizing to me. How can that even be?" And I still remember she took my hand and she looked into my eyes with that big, beautiful rose smile of hers and she said, "That's the Christian way." And I thought to myself, if Christ's people can get that real and are that full of grace, then I need to know more about this guy. So needless to say, I stuck around long enough to live into the mystery of Christ. Long enough to see God revealed in my life again and again. We stuck around long enough to meet Christ in the bread and in the wine and in the water and in the word. In life shared authentically within the body of Christ. And life lived in God's beautiful world. We stuck around to be with others, looking for signs of Christ everywhere we go. Somehow, by miracle, discover how God is revealed even through us and even on our worst days. On my ordination day, I got a long email from Rose, who now lives in Shediac, New Brunswick, and it warmed my heart to know that she was counted amongst the cloud of witnesses that day. This Rose whom I saw when I came to a strange place looking for Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. It is such a simple request, but it cuts to the heart of our Lenten journey. During the season of Lent, as we process with Jesus next week, waving palms, laying coats, trying to catch a glimpse of this Messiah in the days of our week and the weeks of our lives, are we asking to see the Jesus that we've heard so much about? And how do we know it when we see Jesus revealed? How would others see Jesus when they come here to St. Mary's? Would it be in our unity, our harmony? Would they see it in justice, in discord? Do they hear it as we confess our brokenness together and are absolved and forgiven by the grace of God? Do we see the mystery of the sacraments as we come forward to receive God's grace in communion, not knowing if we are saint or sinner, not knowing if we fit in or we don't, not knowing, but trusting? Trusting that we are all in this together somehow, and that Jesus calls, beckons us all. He declared solidarity for all times with those who are abandoned, colonized, oppressed, accused, imprisoned, beaten, mocked, and murdered. He burst open like a seed so that new life would grow and replenish the earth, regardless of Jew, Gentile, Greek, gender, no matter who the person. He took an instrument of torture and made it into a vehicle for hospitality and communion for all people everywhere. What is the big deal about the cross on top of St. Anne's? I'd wonder. Jesus loved and he loved and he loved all people all the way to the end, and then said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." If we, like the Gentiles of John's Gospel, want to see Jesus in this season of Lent, we are reminded that the place to look is to the cross. Yes, Jesus was many things: teacher, healer, companion, troublemaker, and Lord. And God reveals God's self to us in all of these ways of Jesus, in unsuspecting places and parts of our lives that we would consider ungodly. But at the center, the heart of who Jesus is revealed in his vulnerability, in his literal brokenness and beauty at the cross. What's the big deal about the cross? If we wish to see power in fragility, if we wish to see life that comes out of death, light that comes out of darkness, and unimaginable new life, even for ourselves, out of broken pieces, it is the cross that makes all sight possible. And brothers and sisters, we journey there together into Jerusalem with our God who draws us all so close when lifted up on that cross. It is what we live for. It is what offers us life. Amen.